So this week on Writing Fiction, Regina and I are going to talk about how you don't have to give a and we're going to get right into that. But first, let's talk about the Bookworms zine, which is coming out in May, I believe, or yes, sometime in May. If you haven't yet tried your hand at sending us a story, you can do that. This is rock and roll horror. So if you have a short story you want to write about rock and roll horror, the way to submit is in the show notes. So I hope you give it a try.
Yeah, and you have till the end of April.
Yep. Have you blogged anything recently? Because I have not written anything for Medium or my newsletter recently.
Just my short story, which I mentioned last week. So nothing new. I'm working on my Wattpad story. So I wrote this morning. You know, I'll tell you one thing. We talk a little bit about writing even when you don't feel like it. I just was kind of going through that this morning. I made the mistake of checking like emails before I started writing. So I was distracted and something was bothering me. So it was hard to focus.
Yeah.
And I just kind of forced myself to do it. And then I put on my Zen music and it took me a much longer. I did an hour and a half writing session. So usually I put on the music for 2 hours. So I either go to when I've written when I think is enough and stop, or I try to go the full 2 hours. And I got about 1,400 words out. And then I'm like, okay, it was a chapter, so I'm done. But I guess the lesson, and I wrote this in my writing journal that I keep with my, you know, when I record my word count, that even though I didn't really feel like writing and I was distracted, I kind of forced myself to do it and found some great things by just doing that. So I think there's a lesson there about discipline and doing it even when you don't feel like it, which can be applied to a lot of things like exercising or anything we set our mind to. I have been trying to learn guitar. As you know, you probably notice I can play about 3 chords on a guitar, not very well.
No, most pop bands or pop music is 3 chords on a guitar, and that's it.
So they can probably play those 3 chords better than I do. Anyway, I'm trying to like improve my technique. So I've been practicing for an hour a day. My fingers are really sore. Mm-hmm. I'm getting my calluses back, but that's kind of a lesson there too, is just set the timer. And even if you have a bad session, you've had a session. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now I had a similar experience getting up and writing and being distracted and sitting there. And this is when I realized I'm as far as I can go right now. And that's the short story I'm working with. I sent to you, Regina, because I was like,
and I liked it very much.
Thank you. But I'm like, at some point, you got to say, I've been looking at this every morning for X amount of days, and I'm just like, it's blurry. And I'm just like, I need somebody else to look at it for a little bit and not even think about it for a couple days.
Yes. Getting away from it. I'm a great believer in that, and showing it to someone you trust. So I'm glad you trusted me. I thought it was great. I had just that one suggestion, and that was something that someone told me once, and I'm passing it on.
Awesome. But yeah, getting away, I think that's, you know, sometimes you might beat yourself up. But I knew at that moment, I'm like, no, I need to get away from it for a few minutes. You know, I mean, it's due by the end of this month, but I needed that. Let's talk about YouTube. I just watched your book haul and Old School April video.
Yes. And you're going to do Old School April too, right?
Yes. I don't know if
those
I'll do
some
it well.
Prompts. My gosh, those are a lot of prompts.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to get to this. I don't want to overwhelm myself.
No, but I don't think it's that type of thing. You can do what you want.
I'm just picking books that are old school that kind of meet those prompts, but I'm not going crazy. I don't care about points or anything. I just want to have fun with it.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's about. I think it really is about fun. And if you know, if you really want to go full tilt, you can, but I'm just going to read from that pile. And it was fun just pulling them from my own library.
Actually, why don't you explain what Old School April is? I'm assuming people know, but they probably don't.
Well, if you really want to know about it, go to Slime and Slashers, Kelsey's channel. We can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I will.
Her BookTube channel. And it gets into the whole thing. But basically, it's like reading books from the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, it made me feel old because mostly it looks like they're really pushing the 90s thing as if that was a long time ago.
And, I know.
Right? And I'm like, yeah, it is, but it doesn't feel that way to me. And so then it's funny.
I know, I didn't get a lot of the references.
And then I also took my son to school today, and today is 80s day. So I'm like, oh.
Oh, gosh.
God, my kid is dressing up as what I grew up in, and that's the old times.
Well, we just did the costumes for
Big. Oh, yeah, Big, yeah.
I saw it opening night. You should go. Bring Sarah, bring whatever, maybe Leo. I think he'd enjoy it. It's really fun, and okay. It's all 80s nostalgia. I think you'd like it. Yeah, it's fun just to read from your shelves. And another thing I've been doing in my library is I'm rearranging. After I shot that video, I took a lot of books off my shelf. I ordered two new, like, small cabinets from IKEA, and I'm going to just put all of my children's and YA books on those two shelves. So, yeah.
I need to do that.
Do some spring cleaning.
I need more shelves, but I don't know what
I'm gonna
do.
Of those IKEA ones are cheap. You know, you just have to.
I think all mine are IKEA.
Yeah. They don't look bad. I actually managed to assemble them myself. So, yay.
I'm putting together a few YouTube videos that should be coming up. Today is going to be my latest thrift store. I'm doing it in volumes. So this is Thrift Store Ooh. Book Haul Volume 3.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, which thrift stores? The usual ones?
Yeah, the usual ones I go to is Goodwill. I go to 2A Thrift, which I don't like much. And then there's one in Newtown that I go to. I don't really go to Salvation Army much because they just,
don't have the best books.
No, and everything's in condition. Oops.
Yeah.
I'll have to beep that out.
Beep it out. Oh, I just had a comment on one of my videos on that last video where someone commented that they don't have any kind of places near where they live. I don't know where they live, where they can buy secondhand books.
Well, you can do it online. Thrift Books.
It's not as much fun, though.
It's not as fun at all. Thrift Books is one, and Abe Books, I think, is another. And obviously, you can do it on Facebook Marketplace and eBay. But there's no fun in that.
No.
I have another video I'm going to do, which is a thrift store book haul writing edition, which I'm going to just talk about the books I find on writing. So our listeners here might be into that. And then I have a book from the 80s, which is just hilarious to me. And it's all about backward masking.
Backward masking?
Yeah. So when you remember how you play Led Zeppelin's album backwards and it says Satan, Satan.
Oh, right.
So this whole book by this religious guy, and it's just
like
hilarious.
He takes it seriously?
Oh, super hardcore serious. It's it's a super homophobic book. Two, he's like, Olivia Newton-John puts pornography to music with her new hit single, Physical.
Get Physical. Oh, I remember that video.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
So it's so what I'm highlighting like the parts that make me laugh, and yeah.
Where'd you find that?
Actually, that was, I ordered it online because I don't know how I found it or what made me think about it, but I went to Thrift Books and found it. I might have been just looking up books and that came up and I'm like, I got to get it. It was like a dollar or something on Thrift Books. So I was going to do a YouTube short of it, but I'm like, no, there's just too much good stuff in this that I want to
share. Think we should do a whole video series on that. That sounds hilarious. Yeah. And maybe take it as seriously as that book seems to.
Well, I'm going, to me, it should be in the humor section.
Of course. Well, did you ever try the Pink Floyd
Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. And you can actually, years ago, you had to do it like on your own, but now people have done it on YouTube and you can just hit play and we'll let it go. And it's
I've
fun.
I've never tried it.
Yeah. Just watch it on YouTube. You don't have to try, because if you try it, you have to cue the music when the lion roars at its third time. So you
really
have to make sure
specific,
you hit it the right time, yeah, or it won't work.
If you're ever in a thrift store or bookstore, secondhand bookstore, and you see the Dark Shadows cookbook, which we had as kids, and it's gone, it's like one of the most collectible of those types of books out there.
Speaking of that, I would have picked up that Martha Stewart Halloween book. That was really cool.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah,
I was a little on the fence with that one, and then I opened it up and was looking at it.
It looks beautiful, like really.
It is beautiful, yeah.
And then the other thing I was thinking, I don't know how you and I could do this, but you're doing the Nancy Drew. I am collecting like the Hardy Boys.
Oh, I have a few that I'd be happy to give you, but like I don't know which editions are you collecting.
I don't care right now. Right now, I'm thinking about reading them and then talking about them on YouTube. But I was thinking if we somehow eventually do a collaboration of Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, and
maybe
shoot a video about it or something.
Yeah, I have a few Hardy Boys. I don't collect them, but I just pick them up.
I had a crush on the 1970s Nancy Drew.
Oh, me too.
I can't remember her name.
Girl crush. But yeah, that would be fun.
Instagram, we are on at Bookworms Horror Zine, and find us there, follow us, and reach out to us if you want us to talk about something specific.
Yeah, we're open to suggestions.
And if you like this sort of content, please give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening on. So now let's talk about not giving a sh-
Well, this is a struggle for me, I have to say. I have to, because I'm very sensitive. I probably care too much about things, and sometimes I do let it get to me, but I remind myself about this, and I think it comes down to a related part of this, which is just the courage to create means that you can't be held back by what other people think and just go forward with your own ideas.
Yeah, so I have a list of different things, and what you just said kind of falls into this first one, and it is you need to stop seeking approval.
Yes.
And that is really hard in this day and age.
It is.
Because
I think we all want, look, we wouldn't put our stuff out there if we don't want it to be liked and approved of on some level. Let's be honest. But I think the point is maybe you can't let that motivate your work, right?
Yeah. And it's hard, like I said, just being on social media, putting anything up on social media, we've been sort of trained to want to have these likes and follows. And so if we don't get them, we don't feel like, and you know, if it's crickets, which I have a sound effect for crickets too. Let me do it.
Let's do it.
Oh, wrong one. All right. I'm putting crickets on in the background. I know you can't hear it, but if it is crickets, then we start feeling bad. And what we're trying to do is seek approval. How do we stop doing that? You got to stop caring. And
I think you need to put it in its proper place. I don't think you can really stop caring. I mean, some people might. I don't think it's so much stop caring as it is like, okay, I recognize that I do care, but I'm not going to give it as so much importance, if that makes sense. Like, look, social media is really bad for this kind of stuff. You don't really get approval. Well, some people might, but I find that I mentioned this little analogy before, but I'll work on a book for an entire year and finally get it out there and put it on Facebook or whatever and get crickets, but then I'll post a picture.
You didn't hear that, did you?
Yes, I did.
You heard that one. That was an accident. I was trying to hit the crickets.
Oh, I thought this was like me.
It was. It turned out that way, but the button for crickets is right next to the want wah sound,
yeah, and I
hit both of them. I'm leaving that in because that was too funny.
It's like, do you have one for violins?
No, I don't think so, but that's probably the closest.
All right, that's close. Anyway, I was saying, I'll put something up about my book, and I'll get crickets or wah, wah. But then if I post a picture of my dog, I get all kinds of approbation, I guess is my point. And then I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But maybe I should just not give a...
I guess you have to think is what is it you do in your daily life that you're going to do and you don't care if anybody likes it or not? Like just regular stuff. What is that? Mm-hmm. And then what is the thinking you have behind that? And how can you apply that to your art?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that I've always, and if you know me, you know me, and you know, I do kind of have my own, I guess, fashion sense.
Yeah.
And I tend to dress up. And like when I dress up for my videos, it's pretty much how I dress every day. A little bit more makeup. I put on false eyelashes, whatever, usually. But I dress up. And over the years, I think people who know me just know that that's who I am. I've gotten like not nasty, but like snide comments about it sometimes. But, you know, like if I'm wearing black, like who died? People used to say stuff like that. But I really don't care. Like, I honestly don't care at all. I dress for myself. I dress because it makes me happy. For me, it's a way of being creative and expressing myself. And I've always been like that. So I'm at this point in my life, I really don't care. I notice when people say things, and sometimes I get compliments and that's nice, but I'm not doing it for approval. So I really should think of my writing the same way.
Right. That's what we're talking. So then the other thing on my list, which you brought up, is know yourself, own that, and be that self. You know who you are. You like it. You do it for yourself. And you don't seek approval in that area of your life. How can we apply that same thing? Know what you're working on. Know how your stories are. Love that this is who you are in that craft. And don't worry about it if someone doesn't like it. Because
yeah, like you have your, knowing you, you have your like nerdy obsessions. And yeah. I mean that in a good way. But you don't do it. Like you love Jaws. But you don't care what people think about that, do you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I will say the only thing that ever got me like up in arms is I grew up with Star Wars. And then when the prequels came out, I really did not like them. And mm-hmm. I would argue with people about why I don't think they're good. But I don't know if it was ever me trying to seek. I mean, I do want them to see my side of things. But
right.
At this point, I don't even consider myself a Star Wars fan because things have gotten so bad. So, but when it comes down to, yeah, like if I go out wearing Crocs, I don't care. If you don't like it, I don't care.
Right.
So
I guess putting out some work, it doesn't feel good when somebody doesn't like it, but you're not going to change it for that reason. I mean, look, there's a difference between the feedback is a separate thing, I think. And I think feedback is important. So you have to be able to separate or compartmentalize it, I guess, in some ways.
But let's look at it this way. People will not like what you do, period. There's no way you're writing. And you said this before on one of the podcast episodes, that if everybody loves what you're doing, there's probably something wrong with it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So
I agree with myself. Yeah.
So
wah, wah. All right.
Know that you're going to create something, you're going to write that, you're going to put it out there, and people won't like it. And once you accept that, then you just know that's going to happen. So that's normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. So there's nothing wrong with you if that happens, because that's meant to happen.
Yeah, so they have these little snippets of interviews with people like Prince, you know, great artist. I think we can all agree with that. And he was saying something about, like when he's making music in the studio, that's when he decides whether it's good or not. Like that gets his approval or his band's approval, the musicians he's working with. Now, then once it's out there, he doesn't really care what people think. He knew it was good enough to record it and to present it. And I think that's actually, I understand what he means by that. Like the work is done there and then, not afterward. Afterward, you've kind of moved on. And maybe shouldn't be as attached to it. Maybe yeah, that, working on the next thing.
Yeah, and that's good advice, that you just finish it, put it out there, move on to the next thing. You know, a lot of people say, what's your favorite thing? And it's always usually the thing you're currently working on, you know? Like what's the favorite movie you've directed? It? Hopefully, probably the one you're working on now, because you're really excited about it.
Yeah, and it has your focus and attention, and you're not trying to recreate a past success or something. But I do think we all get bothered by, I was telling you, you know, I got a review recently, and I guess it wasn't a totally bad review on Carney, but you know how like on Amazon, they give it like, you can give it a title, your review is a little blurb, and it was like a pale shadow of Stephen King's It. And I just thought, really? Sorry, I'm not good that good yet. You know, like, comparing it to Stephen King's It, I just thought it was a little bit shady.
Right. I also feel it's a wrong, like, it's not fair, one, because I don't feel like just because you have a clown, it's a pale shadow of it. That's like saying everything with a clown is a pale shadow of it. However, let's say it is. Like, that's like saying like something is a smaller version of something that's great. Well, that means you're really good, you know?
Yeah, I'll take the shadow.
Yeah.
It's a pale shadow, but hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, why not?
Well, like I said, it's not a completely negative review. I just thought it was a weird comparison.
Yeah, but people are silly like that. They see a clown and they immediately think it, and then therefore everything that has a clown is a pale shadow of it. I'm sure that guy would write the same thing to anybody who wrote a clown book.
Yeah, and hey, no offense to him. I'm happy he read my book. But I think that goes into, and I think this relates to our topic of not giving a, you know what, is that people are going to approach your work with their expectations, and your work is not always going to meet their expectations. In fact, it probably will not meet their expectations. It's okay.
I think that you're trying to reach the people who do like it, and the other people, you know, that's fine. They'll move on. Even if you just create an Instagram and all you do is post things of things you like during the day, some jerk is going to show up and say, "This is the worst photo I ever seen of a flower."
And right.
That's just the nature of the beast. Yeah. And so if you have hangups about or fear of those interactions, start working on getting over that, because it's going to happen. There's no way around it. It should happen. It's the way things work. And focus on the good stuff when people say stuff that are nice. So here's another thing. When it comes to trying not to give a crap about what people think, focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. And I think a lot of times we start caring, like we start giving a crap because we're like always focusing on what we're doing wrong or what's not working out versus true. What is working out.
That's true. I guess that's just the part of human nature to be. I think I read somewhere that the reason we're so like critical or even self-critical is that to survive, we had to be vigilant about threats all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
So we were scanning the bushes looking for predators or people or animals or things that are going to threaten our existence. So we're always aware of this kind of stuff. And kind of are drawn to it immediately, like what the negative thing someone might say instead of, or believe it. Or maybe that's just, I don't know. It probably varies from individual to individual. Like, I don't think James Patterson really gives a crap what people think of his work.
I thought about this earlier. And do you think the reason why people care is because they're in a place in their life that they want to get away from so badly that they feel like their art or their writing, whatever it is they're working on, is hopefully the thing that will get them out of this existence.
Oh, yeah.
And so it matters so much, because every time they get a negative thing, it tells them they're not getting out of this existence anytime soon. James Patterson's in his existence of money and success and fame, so of course he doesn't care. He's going to get the money no matter what he does. I'm sure he cares.
That's what motivates him, yeah.
I'm sure he cares, but I'm sure it's not like the average person who's like, man, if I can get enough people to follow me, eventually my books would sell, and then I can get out of this job I can't stand and tell my boss to F off. And
that's a lot of expectation attached to it, so you could kind of see why you would lose it. Like we've talked about before, people who have done really horrible things when they've gotten bad reviews, like I'm laughing morbidly, but it's like some of these have been really, like serious cases of stalking and assault and stuff.
Yeah.
So, no one wants to, you know, don't do that. But,
I think that's why we seek that because it's like you want it to work out so you can finally have the life you want.
Well, I also think you want it to work out so you can prove to yourself that you are good. and that you are a writer, you know, this kind of thing, which I think is, we always, all of us have those nagging doubts. You know, I did a writing session, I was telling you earlier this morning, where I didn't really feel like doing it, but, and I'm like, I can't write. I can't even write a sentence. What am I doing? And then I just pushed through that and like, yeah, it's not too bad. You know?
Right. Like I have a short story I'm working on. You've read it. I'm going to go, I'm going to tweak it. I'm going to submit it. Eventually, if I get something that is accepted, then am I any different? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird. It's that validation. And then maybe if you got enough things to validate you, a rejection then would be like, well, it's okay. These other people liked me. But never, like, how does some people get through the many, many, many rejections? And every, like I said, every famous person has been through all those rejections. But they had this idea of just going forward and not letting it bring them down.
Yes. I mean, as editors of bookworms, we have to reject stories, and it, I always feel really bad about it, but I just want to let people know that it's really not about the story so much. It's a lot of times it's just, it was too long and there wasn't enough space in the bookworms. And there's all kinds of reasons other than, I don't think I've ever read any story that was submitted where I'm like, this is crap. You know, it doesn't really work that way. Most of the stories are really good, actually. Yeah. It's just a matter of choosing the right ones that work together. So knowing that when my story, like my clown story, got rejected, it didn't hurt so much because I'm like, yeah, just wasn't right for the anthology. It's fine.
Yeah, I do hope mine gets it picked, but
yours kind of reminded me of The Fog. Like, The Fog, the Stephen King story.
No, well, The Fog is a John Carpenter movie.
No, not The Fog. The Mist.
Huh. That's interesting because I don't think. I mean, I guess the atmosphere is where you're getting
the
that
atmosphere
from,
is
of
what
being not, in this,
not the story itself, but the isolation inside the gas station kind of thing.
Yeah.
But in that anthology, I know it's like 70% invite, 30% accepted. So those are pretty tough odds, but I think your story is definitely good enough to get in. My gosh.
Well, we'll see. Now, another thing that is supposed to help you with not giving a crap is gratitude. And this is probably something I probably have the hardest time with. I should be very grateful for a lot of things in my life every day.
Yep.
And I think I struggle with that. And I don't know, especially when you think like what's going on in like these places in the Middle East where people's homes are being blown up and their land is being taken and things like that. People being taken hostage, and then you're like, wow.
Yeah, like, and I'm worried that my coffee wasn't ready for me.
Yeah, and so I try and try to work on gratitude, to be just grateful that I have the ability to actually sit down at a computer and type. I see people every day who their hands don't work or they've stuff maybe happened to their hands.
Yeah.
People who can't move, they're in wheelchairs. There's like so many things, and I'll use this phrase because it's the only thing that really gets it, but of the grace of God, or but for the grace of God, whatever that is.
Yes, go I.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so like for me, I am lucky in so many ways in my life, and to just be able to have the opportunity to write something and put that on paper and get it possibly taken by somebody and they like it. I mean, that should be something to really try. And I think that you can't, life moves so fast. And I don't think if you don't sit down and meditate on that, it's not easy. You have to pause and think about that every day.
Yes, I know some people I you know, friends of mine have kept gratitude journals.
Mm-hmm.
And I do try to, when I don't journal every day, but I did this morning because I woke up during the lunar eclipse. I don't know if you saw it, I caught the tail end of it, but it was a full moon. But I was writing in my journal, and I do at the end try to write down a couple notes of gratitude. Try to jot down in your journal something I try to do, just I'm grateful for, and then come up with three things. And mine are usually the same, but they're good reminders because these things may not always be there.
Yeah, I was saying I have a self-journal. That's the actual, I think, brand self-journal it's called. And it has a page every day, and the top of the left page it says, today I'm grateful for. And mine is blank.
So it's like a prompt. It's blank? Why is it blank?
Do you remember going to confession when you were a child? I don't know if you still do.
I still go to confession. Yes, I do.
Well, when we were kids, we didn't do anything like kill people. So
right.
You always had to have something to say. And it was always the same. You said, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been X amount of time since my last confession. And I lied once. I was disrespectful to my parents. It was the same three things. And it was just because it seems like I need to have something. And so I feel like it feels like when I write it down, I get that, yes, I'm grateful for my family and my kids. And I feel like I don't feel it as when I write it. I just don't feel like I'm feeling it. I'm just writing it.
Well, maybe come up with something new.
Yeah. I mean, I try new things, but I think I really have to feel it deeper, and I don't feel it deep enough. But anyway, mm-hmm. That is great advice. And
right?
I try to do this. Let me see if I go back. Most of my I'm gratefuls are blank. I create it today, and I scribble out I'm grateful for, and I put today, this is what I'm going to do. They're all crossed out. Oh.
Well, okay, maybe it feels a little Pollyanna-ish.
Yeah.
Like I do kind of like hate that kind of stuff. Like what am I thankful for today? But you know. But I think just what you said, like this morning I got up, I did my writing, and I should be grateful that I was able to do that, or that I did a 5-mile walk and I'm still able to walk 5 miles. That's something to be grateful.
Yeah, right.
And I know that you're having an issue with your heat. So think about when I am warm, like I'm grateful that my house is heated.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm not saying, I'm saying this is what we all should be doing. For
but
me, but some people are better at it than
obviously. Well, look, people who have a lot of money are still miserable on some level. So I think it's part of the human condition.
Yeah. So we got one more thing that it says, focus on what's important and stop focusing on everything else.
Okay.
And I think that is something I do. And this comes to, there's a really great Instagram called Inspired to Write. And mm-hmm. I think they're British or Australian. I don't know, but it's Amy and her husband, I think is James. I think is his name, but she's really good at like getting people inspired to create. And the thing she was talking about is she gets up and it's a pretty popular Instagram. And they have a podcast, so they're busy doing this stuff to inspire, but they want to create their own thing. And she says the first thing she does before any of this other stuff, social media, checking emails, is doing the creativity work. And mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. to me, that's what's been on my mind this year, is focusing on the craft before thinking about what the podcast is going to be or what my YouTube is going to be or whatever. And
that's what threw me this morning, is that I made the mistake of checking my email before I did my writing. And then I was distracted.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you need to do as a writer, you need to say, what's important to me? What is the most important thing? It's not how many followers you get on Instagram. It's writing. And that has to be done. It doesn't have to be done first, but it has to be prioritized first.
Right.
And I find that doing it first is just better, because then you're not thinking so much. Because I know I have videos I want to put out today, but that should come after I've done, you know, all the work that is for myself. You don't come across as somebody who, as you said in the beginning of the episode, like gives a crap about what other people think. At least that's on the surface.
It seemed like I don't.
Yes.
Oh, I have an austere exterior, but I'm very sensitive.
Right. And
Joe calls me the pineapple, although I don't think I'm too prickly, but yeah, I have a very soft center, and you know, it's taken me a long time to be at peace with that. But
yeah. And I feel like for me, anybody who knows me would say I don't give a crap about stuff. And for the most part, it's probably right.
I look at it this way. It's not that I do care, but I do it anyway. Like, I don't care enough. I don't care enough for people's approbation to change my work, if that makes sense.
Like,
I'm not going to change my book because someone doesn't like my idea. In fact, that would just make me even more stubborn and be like, oh, you know, I'm just going to do it my way, because that's all you've got when you're writing. It's just you and your head and your ideas and your heart and your mind. It doesn't really matter what you shouldn't be dictated what other people say. I mean, it's absolute freedom of the artist or the creator to do what the heck they want. And I'm completely behind that. It's like my motto, but I still get hurt if someone, you know, it depends. There's constructive feedback. That's fine. Constructive criticism. And probably most of it is deserved. But, you know, if someone like says, you know, I'm a fraud and I suck, that I'd hurt a little bit, but it's not going to make me change what I'm doing.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean make them right.
It doesn't make them right. And, you know, then you have to think about, well, what kind of person has the need to be like that? Because even the books that I really don't like, I try not to ever be nasty, but there are a lot of people on Goodreads, it seems like their entire raison d'être, you know the word I'm trying to pronounce, raison d'être, is to be like that. And you know what? They're kind of, people know what they're all about now.
It's interesting you're bringing up this, that we have this topic going. I was just Thursday night in Princeton. So there's this thing called the Arts Council of Princeton does this night of story and verse. There's once, and I have friends who run it, and also we go. And so I haven't been there in a while. And this time I was talking to my friend Elijah. I'm like, well, let's go. And he met me there. And I brought my story to read because I wanted to hear it in, you know, out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I only got through like the first two parts. I couldn't get through the whole thing because you only get a certain amount of time to read. But there was a poet there, and the majority of people are doing poetry. It was probably one of two people who did a story. But majority of it's poetry. And the woman got up and she says, I was here before and I wrote this poem about that time. And it was all about approval. Why am I here seeking your approval? And it was so powerful. And yeah. I just was like, yeah, like we're, and the other thing I really enjoyed was it was a full house. Like literally all the seats were filled. I was standing.
I'll have to go to this sometime.
Yeah, the next one is in April if you want to go. It's April 18th.
Yeah, check it out.
And if you want to bring something to read, you just go in. You put, it's like it's open mic night basically for poets.
Yeah, Wright just does something like this too in Doylestown somewhere.
Yeah, so they have this, and you go, you put your name down, you go up, you read what it is, people applaud, you sit down, and people give you high fives, you know? It's definitely makes you feel good. Like the guy who's sitting next to me when I sat down, he turns to me and says, you need therapy.
That makes you feel good.
Yeah, and I'm like, good. And I am in therapy, so
okay.
It's a win-win.
See, if someone said that to me, I might want to cry.
Why? No, I'm like, no, but only because I only got past the part where I had that birthday party and Punky the Clown shows up and
That was creepy.
Bites the guy's head off or the chicken's head off.
Yeah.
But then he says.
That triggered me.
But then he says, are you going to illustrate this? I'd love to see that picture of that guy. And I'm like, okay, well, who needs therapy now?
Right. It's like, dude, you're. Why don't you draw it?
Submit
it to me. But that's, I mean, I think we all need, you know, I went to a Righteous did a open mic night where he, and his songs are really excellent. And he, at John and Peter's in New Hope. And there were, and we waited, you know, we sat through all the acts and he went last. So it was kind of a mix of different styles. But this one woman went up and, you know, middle-aged gal who did this kind of, strange like rap poetry to like a recorded like beats.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I'm like, oh no. Like I was like, I had secondhand embarrassment for her, you know, because it seemed really corny at first.
Yeah.
But then I really loved, she had such a positive message, and like the message was in her words and her lyrics. And I ended up loving her. So I think, you know, go in there with like an open mind and hoping that you'll be received that way. But, you know,
I think
you might get some, not in that kind of thing, but you know, there's, I guess it gets down to courage. It takes a lot of courage to get up.
Yeah, that was crossing my mind. The whole night I'm standing there watching everybody get up to the mic and read their poetry or read whatever it was they were reading. I was like, everybody here is very brave because it's, one, you're also among your peers. There's other writers out in this audience. It's not just people that don't know anything about. These are all other artists. And you're reading to these other artists and then you're like, oh, you know, like that just puts another level of, you know, fear on top of it.
And especially if you're like, well, I did a poetry reading with my friend James and they never asked me back. So maybe they didn't like it, but my poems are very formal. Like I write informal, usually sonnets and odes and they rhyme. And most of the poems that they were reading were this kind of freestyle, like more modern contemporary type poetry. So I definitely felt a bit exposed, but you know what? I'm really glad I did it. It was kind of like something I've never done before. I never did like got up and read my poems. So I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. I love my poetry, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Do you feel there's a difference when we're talking about seeking approval or not giving a crap when you're talking about your poetry versus not giving a crap with your writing your horror novels?
Well, poetry definitely is, I think, a more vulnerable statement because...
But you don't seem to care as much if people...
You know, it's not that I feel rebellious about it. Like, I feel like a teenager rebelling when I kind of do my poetry. Because this is the real me coming out. I'm not hiding behind a character unless it's a poem with a character in it. But this is like, you know, poetry is like you're exposing your soul in a lot of ways. It's beautiful. It's vulnerable. And that takes a lot of courage. So I guess it's my rebellious streak that is being like, yeah, I'm gonna rhyme. I'm gonna write meter and rhyme.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel that rebellious streak when you go into your novels?
Definitely. I always feel rebellious when I do this stuff. I think it's important to be a rebel. I remember when. Back in the 90s, I was living in New York and there was a big to-do about Bret Easton Ellis's book, not Lesson Zero, American Psycho.
Okay.
And there were all kinds of articles in the New York Times about it. And I remember the typesetters who were mostly women, like walked off the job, that like, we refused to type this. It's horrible, it's reprehensible. Prose, this guy should be locked up. I mean, it was really severe. If you don't believe me, go back and look at some of those old articles from whenever that book came out.
Okay.
And I remember he was just defiant and said, okay, fine. Next time I'll just write this book. I think he said his exact quote, like a big hug and then everyone will love me, you know? And my point is, that book is now, everybody thinks it's a big classic.
And the movie, too.
And the movie.
I think that's a good example of, to kind of end this on, is be a rebel. You know, like, stop seeking approval because you're rebellious and you're going to do what you want to do. Focus on your strengths. You know, this is who you are and be proud of who you are. And because here's the thing, I want to end on a sad note. Kind of.
Okay.
We're all dying. We are all going to die. You don't know how long you have.
I'm laughing. Yeah.
You don't know how long you have. It may be, you know, depending on how old you are, it's not going to be very long. You don't have that much time to worry about what other people think or about any of it. You have a very, very limited time on this planet. And you should be waking up and doing what you want to do. And don't worry about anything else. Why waste any minutes on what other people think or what they want? And so if you're starting to think like, oh man, I wonder if I should. No, don't worry about it. You don't have time for it. You do not have time.
Right. And look, you're not going to be here one day. Do you want you may not leave any kind of mark. I'm just saying that people may forget about your books, but some, you know, we're archivists. We go and we search out these old books and then you find these treasures. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, wow, this writer is not famous, but they wrote a damn good book. I love it.
Yeah.
If that book had been something that was written just to make people happy in 1962 or whatever, I probably would like it. So be brave, make your statement, be a rebel, and don't give a crap what anyone thinks. And don't go into writing your book thinking, I'm going to make people like me by writing this, because that's death. That's real death.
You
all
love me.
I know. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
You like, what is it?
I think it's you like me. You really like me.
And she'll never live it down, poor Sally Field.
And Sally Field's a great actress. I just don't understand. I don't know where that comes from, you know?
Maybe she was being sarcastic.
I don't know. Or maybe we don't know what was going on in her life at that time. But Sally Field ends up in Spider-Man. I think it's she's Aunt May in the second version of Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield.
So. She is a fantastic actress. I remember Sybil?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah,
don't care. Try not to care. I say this even though I struggle with it, I'm not going to lie, but it doesn't stop me from doing what I want to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, next week we'll be back with a new episode. Make sure you go and buy Bookworms. It's bookwormshorror.etsy.com. Everything is in the show notes. Everything you need to know. So please go to the show notes, support the show. And hey, get the Bookworms t-shirt. That's available too.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
I need to get mine. Okay, sounds good. This was a good topic. You got me fired up.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.